siblings Matt and Ted Lee grew up in Charleston, South Carolina. When they left to attend colleges in the Northeast, they so missed the foods of their hometown that they founded the Lee Brothers Boiled Peanuts Catalog, a mail order catalog for Southern pantry staples like stone ground grits, fig preserves, and of course, boiled peanuts. When an editor of a travel magazine asked them to write a story about road tripping their home state in search of great food, they embarked on a second career as food and travel journalists. Now, they have their own TV show. It is called Southern Uncovered. It is on Ovation. And tomorrow, Matt will be emceeing the second annual Coxsackie Cook-Off at the Coxsackie Farmers Market. Four local chefs will get a basket of surprise ingredients from the market for each round and will have a short time limit to develop and cook a delicious dish in order to move forward. It sounds right up his alley. It's a great pleasure to welcome Matt Lee to the program. Thank you very much for being back here.
Oh, Joe, thank you. It's such a pleasure being here, and it's been too long.
Yeah, so you were on for the first book?
So our very first book back in 2006, it came out, and my brother and I collaborate, obviously.
Yes.
Everything we do writing-wise is together.
Is that a pain in the ass?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I mean,
just checking.
It's, you know, terrible, you know. You've got a brother. But on the other hand, there are some benefits, which is you have a common vocabulary and you sort of know each other well enough to move through life really effectively.
Yeah.
Whether you're traveling, writing, you know, busting heads at the local bar, like he's got my back and I've got his back.
Sure. So that was 2007.
So that was our debut. We moved from writing about food and travel for Travel and Leisure magazine, the New York Times, assorted other magazines and newspapers, to writing our first cookbook. And it was a great opportunity, and it seemed like just a nice way to develop our freelance careers into some other territory. And what we didn't realize was that we were in for a six-year project. I mean, this thing has 600 pages, it weighs 5 pounds, it's got 230 recipes in it. But our editor at W.W. Norton wanted us to produce a cookbook as our first cookbook that really would have heft. We didn't have, no one knew who we were, they still don't, but you know, we had no franchise, no reason for people to buy our cookbook. So what you do in that case is you create a book that just by its physicality and by its obvious integrity gives you some sort of credibility. And so it's a monster of a book about Southern food at a time. We're in a new era now talking about Southern food, but back then it was sort of a new subject. Southern food was, you know, just presumed to be overly cooked, fatty, etc. A lot of misconceptions about it. So this was an encyclopedic book about the South and really driving home the point that Southern food is different from place to place. When you're in Pensacola, Florida, it's so much different, the ingredients and the traditions, than it is in the mountains of North Carolina, in Asheville, or in Louisville, Kentucky. So, and that launched, and later that year, the book won Best American Cookbook at the James Beard Awards and Cookbook of the Year. And so we beat out Danielle Boulud and all these other people that year, and who the hell are we? So that was a good way to enter the book publishing business.
It certainly is. And so how long after that does Hollywood start sniffing around and saying, oh, you guys should do a TV show?
So even before then, as soon as you write something for a publication, producers, freelance producers start calling you and saying, I think you could probably do something on TV. Does that sound attractive to you? And, you know, you sort of, I don't know, but it sounds great. Yeah. And what you realize really quickly is that most producers want to fit you to some kind of, you know, bucket. And if you're writing about the South, they want to fit you to a Duck Dynasty redneck bucket.
Okay.
And that's not us. We're, you know, sort of complicated guys who grew up in Charleston, which is a much more sophisticated Southern outpost than other parts of the South. And we don't have, you know, y'all-y Southern accents. And so,
and you live primarily up here?
We live, my wife and three boys and I live full time in Charleston.
Oh, okay.
My brother is full time in Brooklyn. And so he goes back and forth. In 2003, we bought a house in Coxsackie.
Okay.
As, you know, vacation, renovation, mini farming outlet. although we're right in the village, and we've loved it. I mean, that it's the only property we've ever owned, and now it's become a place where my family spends our summers and sometimes full years if we can do it. Less and less now that we've got three kids to put through school.
Sure. What is the so for you and your brother, the business is what?
It's so hard to tell, Joe. I don't know. I mean, we're in, the only thing we aren't in at the moment is radio.
Okay. Well, welcome aboard.
So thanks. So yeah, we started out, as you in your intro described, back in 94, selling boiled peanuts by mail order.
And okay. And you still have a catalog.
We still do that. Okay. Boiledpeanuts.com. That has been sort of the wellspring of inspiration. It's just being tied in so closely with expatriate Southerners around the country who miss certain foods. There are certain foods that just don't travel well. Whatever cultural region you're in, whether it's the Northeast or Minnesota or Southern California or the Low Country of South Carolina, there are foods that just don't travel and aren't available on Amazon. And so it's fun to discover what those are and to talk about them. And so the catalog, you know, started off that conversation. It's sort of a hobby. I mean, it's fairly easy to run. And then we've gotten into writing for, magazines and newspapers, the cookbook publishing. Now we started a cookbook boot camp teaching chefs from around the country how to develop their own cookbook, how to develop the recipes, how to find an agent, how to structure a recipe professionally. We do that two times a year. What else are we doing? So the TV show came along. I mean, the reason it worked was that the producers were from the South. And the subject matter is travel. It's not food. It's definitely food-focused. Each episode is a different Southern city in the first season. And also that the channel, Ovation, is an arts channel. They're not a food channel. They're not a travel channel. And so we are able, in a sort of more nuanced, geeky, you know, Lee Brothers-y way, to deliver a real deep dive on Louisville, Kentucky. So you think Louisville, bourbon country, right?
Right.
Kentucky Fried Chicken. So what we did in Louisville was somewhat related to bourbon. We went to this guy who's producing soy sauce, okay, out of Kentucky ingredients, Kentucky soybeans. That's the main ingredient in soy sauce. And water is the other main ingredient. And the water in that part of Kentucky is used in the bourbon and is outstanding. And then there's some salt and there's a little bit of yeast. But he's then aging it in spent bourbon barrels. So it acquires this sort of butterscotchy sort of thing that's really cool. And so 100% of the ingredients are Kentucky, but it's soy sauce. It's an Asian ingredient.
Yeah.
So the South we're presenting is one that's just more complex and interesting and modern than what you're used to getting on television.
I find the show fascinating. I saw the one, I guess it was last week on Dallas.
Yes.
Was that right? On Dallas. And last week. And I was fascinated because I guess you go into that reality show. I mean, I guess that's sort of how it would be formed. But it is more journalistic in going to the place and discovering a place.
Yes. The way in which our writing comes through, and we discovered this going on Anthony Bourdain's show, No Reservations, is that you experience something for 2 or 3 days in a city, and then the poor editors have to chop it down to 22 minutes if it's a half-hour show, and then you lay over top of it the voiceover. And we spend a lot of time writing and editing and parsing every word, it's almost like poetry, of the voiceover to stitch together all these different scenes. And you know from watching television, it has to sort of feel frenetic. Like, you know, there's just a few frames before the camera changes perspective. But what stitches it all together is a whole lot of work with words. And it's sort of expensive, low-budget television.
Yeah.
But it's a way that Andrew Zimmern does on the Travel Channel, Anthony Bourdain. By now, this is sort of, you know, well-traveled territory. And it's what we do to create something that's just a little more intelligent and a little more educational while still being entertaining.
How do you define the South?
Well, one thing I don't do is say the South is, because by now we all sort of recognize it's such a large landmass. It's sort of like Europe. We don't talk about European food. We go deeper. And we don't even talk about Italian food really anymore. It's like the food of Tuscany or Piemonte or Calabria. In the South, it's the Low Country. It's the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's upstate. You know, in South Carolina, there's probably three or four different culinary zones. There's definitely been published a barbecue sauce map of South Carolina that, you know, does the geographical things. But I think, you know, one thing, and yet we want to sort of unify our talk about the South because it has attracted a lot of attention. It's a part of the country that's been less chewed over and digested and, you know, spit out a number of ways. You know, we have our Dutch heritage here in the upper Hudson Valley, but so many waves of immigrants and people and development have happened that it's hard to make sense of it without a few icons like a stone house or I think there's a couple of museums who treat it well. But the South until recently hasn't been well traveled pre-air conditioning. You know, it was just this sort of corner of the U.S. that wasn't well discovered. So you could travel through the South and really feel as if it was as exotic as traveling the Yucatan or something like that, to use an exaggerated example. But and it's fun to discover throughout this country those kinds of places. I feel like the outer Albany region is one of those places now where it just hasn't been, you know, Andrew Zimmern hasn't been through here a million times. And so there are neat things that seem fresh and interesting. We always mine old material for new, fresh ideas. That's something my brother and I do, whether it's old cookbooks or when we travel, finding destinations. But the South certainly has avoided scrutiny for a long time, and now it's having its moment where people are less afraid of it. They're traveling there, and there's a lot of fun things to explore.
Matt Lee and his brother Ted are the Lee brothers, and their TV show is Southern Uncovered, and it's on Ovation. And so just that word uncovered. So what you are doing when you go out is to look at something that has been there for perhaps a long time, and we don't know about it collectively.
Exactly. So in Louisville, Kentucky, to keep going back to Louisville, but in that episode, and we didn't realize this until the episode came together, but there were two Latin food segments, and it seems like too many for an episode on a southern town like Louisville. And one was the ceviche, this you know, James Beard nominated incredible chef Anthony Lamas is doing a sort of tuna cocktail using that bourbon barrel soy sauce that we discussed. And then in another segment, Bruce Yucan at Mayan Cafe. Now, this is a guy we did rabbit mole, like a very esoteric from the Yucatan Peninsula. mole sauce, you know, very traditional dish. He's been in Louisville, Kentucky now for 20 years. Like, his restaurant is well known. It's part of the like bedrock restaurants of Louisville, Kentucky. And it's all about Mayan cuisine. And that was something that Ted and I, having traveled to Louisville probably 8 times in the last 10 years, never discovered. And he's now part of the dialogue. Like, he is Southern cuisine, you know?
Right.
The cuisine evolves to embrace, yes, fried chicken, yes, bourbon, but also rabbit mole. And his famous lima beans, which are a well-loved Southern ingredient, which he does, you know, Mexican style, charred in a skillet with scallions, mint, and a few other things he tossed in the pan. But that's what he's famous for. That's his signature dish.
So let's talk about Coxsackie and the Cook-Off. You did this last year.
So this is something we've been meaning to do for a long time. And it's got such a great location. Like, I can't think of any other farmer's market that's right on the river, watching boats go by. You could even drive up in your boat to go to this market. But it also has 4-part grills right there. And since the farmer's market takes place there, we always thought, wouldn't it be cool to sort of show the farmer's market ingredients in action? like right there, like no frills, like just charcoal, park grills, take four local chefs and make them show us what they got. And of course, in the era of television, you know, food challenges, like making them work with some, you know, challenging ingredients is part of the fun. And so last year they had wild goose breast and pickled quail eggs and some really esoteric Mexican herb that I'd never heard of called papalo that Rex Croft Farms was growing. So tomorrow, you know, afternoon, I'm going to go through the farmer's market and sort of pick out those things that kohlrabi, you know, things that that restaurant chefs working in the area are probably not going to have in regular rotation. What was so surprising last year was how well the chefs did. I mean, with only 15 minutes to work with, they took those quail eggs and biscotti and kohlrabi and stuff and made some incredible dishes.
Quail eggs and biscotti.
So we got the mayor, Mark Evans, and Rick Orlando, who's really popular in the Hudson Valley. They're judges, and so they're going to have to subject themselves to the craziness on the plate.
So it sounds, I mean, this sounds like a TV show. You could do, right?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be called, and I know Ted Allen pretty well, but it used to be called, you know, Kooksaki Chopped or something. And yeah. Then I was like, no, you probably shouldn't use that name. But that's pretty much the model for most chef contests around the country. Take time, just a few chefs, give them a mystery basket of exotic and disgusting ingredients and make them go at it. The way we differ is we don't put any Skittles in there. There's no disgusting. It's all okay. Good stuff. It's unlikely combinations, but you know, there might be biscotti and wild goose breast, and you have to make sense of it. But it's not truly disgusting.
Do you think of it in the sense of, oh well, this could be interesting. I wonder if they'll go down this route, or do you think of it as a way of stumping them, of saying, oh, here are two ingredients that I have no idea what you do with, but let's see what they do.
I think it's the former. I mean, there's no way to stump a chef. There really isn't. Like, they will take the biscotti and shave it down to a fine powder and blend it into a vinaigrette, and it'll disappear. Like, there's all sorts of tricks now that these chefs have for dispensing with the ingredient that seems, you know, to get in the way. But it's all just fun and games. They've got 15 minutes. Everyone's a good sport. And I'm there with a microphone with, like, a 40-foot cable running around, you know, getting the audience whipped up and making fun of everyone, including myself. And we have a blast. I mean, weather permitting, it's going to be a great day.
Well, it happens tomorrow around 4 o'clock. Is that?
Yeah, that's when the market kicks off, and we're going to try to kick off the festivities pretty soon after that. And runs until about 7:30.
Excellent.
A Wednesday farmer's market is a rare thing.
So, but a good thing. It's
a great thing. Yeah, absolutely.
It's the Kooksaki cook-off at the Kooksaki Farmers Market tomorrow at 4 o'clock beginning, and it'll be going on throughout the evening. Don't forget Southern Uncovered on Ovation, and you can find out more about what Matt and his brother are up to by going to mattandtedlee.com. mattandtedlee.com.
It's mattleeandtedlee.com.
mattleeandtedlee.com.
Yeah.
How'd you get that?
It was available.
that was necessary.
Or simplefreshsouthern.com works just as well.
Boiledpeanuts.com
is the business.
The business. All right.
But yeah.
MattLeeandTedLee.com.
And 8 p.m. is our final episode of the first season is New Orleans this Sunday at 8 p.m. And it's 274 on DirecTV. And I think Time Warner Cable up here, it's like 187.
All right. And season two?
Season two, we're waiting with fingers crossed.
All right.
Tune in, DVR it, you know, phone your cable operator if they don't have it, and beg them, plead them, and cry.
All right. We will cross our fingers as well and add it to that. It's Southern Uncovered on Ovation. And again, the Kooksaki cook-off tomorrow. And we're going to leave you with a little clip from the show. Matt Lee, thank you very much for being
thank
with us.
Thank you so much, Joe. It was a pleasure.
You.
We're in the mountains of Asheville, North Carolina with Chef William Disson. We're foraging for morels, an edible mushroom with a honeycomb-like appearance.
This is prime time for morels, and they're probably the most coveted mushroom out there, I'd say.
What are you looking for? Are you looking for a type of terrain, or do you just come upon them?
When I'm out, I just really like to purvey the forest floor. Mushrooms definitely grow under different trees in different settings. You find morels around the pine, but they, you know, they can grow around oak and things too. Look right there.
Oh, man.
Man, that thing is massive.
That's insane.
Look, there's a couple of them here. See that?
Those are beautiful.
Those are beautiful. Let's grab them out of here.
Nice find.
Yeah. Look at that.
That is killer.
Another one over here, too. Check that out.
Super funky.
Aside from truffles, this is probably the most expensive mushroom you could buy. This is a little morel patch right here. This is great.
Nice.
Look at that guy there. These are massive.
God, that is beautiful. Look at that.
What would you do with these in the restaurant?
Oh, gosh. We dehydrate them some to save throughout the year.
Right.
We also use them, you know, make some quick pan sauces with it. We actually have a Carolina gold rice dish we're doing as a special this weekend. Make a Carolina gold rice risotto with the pan-roasted wild mushrooms, wild morels.
Low country Appalachian mashup.
That's right.
With the rice.